money that we're now spending on the war to rebuild New Orleans, to refinance mortgages, and rebuild our infrastructure, think of the thousands of jobs that this would create and the increase in our people's well-being that would come at the same time. So we need a system that produces security and not insecurity. And if we have that, in that kind of framework, the free movement of people, it doesn't have to be threatening to people. Now, it's not possible to win these kinds of major changes in immigration policy without a struggle for these other things as well, too. But if we find common ground, I think that we can stop raids and we can create a more just society for everybody, whether they're immigrants or non-immigrants alike. Thanks.
And that was David Bacon speaking at the Jamaica Plain Forum on September 7th. And you're listening to Sferio, the local voice of our hemisphere. We have a few minutes left with some lovely announcements.
Okay. Are you interested in calling for an end to deportations and abusive treatment of immigrants? There will be a call to action on Wednesday, October 1st from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Boston City Plaza by the Government Center T-Stop near the JFK building.
En español, ¿usted quisiera que separaran deportaciones y el tratamiento abusivo para los inmigrantes? Bueno, espero que la respuesta sea que sí. Pues habrá una llamada a la acción este miércoles, el 1 de octubre, de las 5 a las 6 de la tarde en el Boston City Plaza por el Government Center T-Stop cerca del edificio de John F. Kennedy.
There will be a Native Heritage Celebration on Saturday, September 27th at the New England Wildlife Center in South Weymouth at 500 Columbian Street. All proceeds from this fundraising event will go directly to the aid of the Lakota children of Wandley, South Dakota, the poorest community in America. Doors open at 5:30 p.m.
En español, habrá una celebración de la herencia nativa este sábado, septiembre 27, en the New England Wildlife Center in Weymouth, Massachusetts, en 500 Columbian Street. Va a ser una recaudación de fondos que ayudará a los niños de Lakota, de Wambly, en South Dakota, la comunidad más pobre de todos Estados Unidos. Las puertas abrirán a las 5:30 de la tarde.
On Saturday, September 27th, Bikes Not Bombs volunteers will load a 40-foot shipping container full of bicycle aid for the Maya Pedal Organization in Guatemala. They will start at 10:30 a.m. at 179 Boylston Street, Jamaica Plain, two blocks from the Stony Brook T-Stop on the Orange Line.
Y este sábado, o sea mañana, voluntarios de las Bikes Not Bombs van a cargar un contenedor lleno de bicicletas para la asociación Maya Pedal en Guatemala. Ellos comenzarán a las 10:30 de la mañana en el 179 Boylston Street en Jamaica Plain.
And let me just say, Maya Pedal is awesome.
Bueno, si quieren estar, vayan ahí a las 10:30.
And lastly, there will be a film festival called Global Voices on September 25th through 28th. It will have documentaries ranging from topics like the conflict in Darfur to women in Saudi Arabia. It starts on Thursday, September 25th at Harvard Kennedy School, Taubman Building at 6 p.m.
Bueno, ayer comenzó un festival de cine llamado Voces Globales y va hasta el 28 de septiembre. Este va a tener documentales con temas sobre el conflicto en Darfur y sobre las mujeres en Arabia Saudita. Comenzará este jueves, o sea, ayer comenzó en el Harvard Kennedy School, en el building, en el edificio Taubman, a las 6 de la tarde.
Ah. And those are all the announcements, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. Thank you very much. And we'd like to let everyone know that Monday, the new schedule starts here on WMBR. And wonderfully, Sferio will stay at our current time slot, 6 to 7 p.m. every Friday. But alas, Music for Human Beings is about to present their last show. So everyone ought to give them a listen and say goodbye.
Time.
Yeah, one last time at the Music for Human Beings. So this has been another production of Sferio, the local voice of our hemisphere. And stay tuned for Music for Human Beings on WMBR Cambridge.
Time traveling. Hosted by yours truly, DJ Nomadic, every Friday, 10 p.m. to midnight, on WMBR 88.1 FM or on the web at WMBR.org. Let me take you on a musical journey through time with hip hop, soul, funk, and so much more. Time traveling.
A vida tava tão boa, pra que mandou me chamar?
A vida
chamar.
A vida tava tão boa, pra que mandou me chamar?
Eu tava no Juazeiro, no sertão do Ceará. De Monteiro para o Crato, do Crato para Juazeiro. Depois do Crato eu voltei para Monteiro. De Monteiro para o Crato, do Crato para Juazeiro.
A vida tava tão boa, pra que mandou me chamar?
Na terra de chão batido, o barro vou amassar.
A vida tava tão boa, pra que mandou me chamar?
Canto forte, bato palmas pro povo todo brincar. Se quiser entrar na roda, se achegue, venha pra cá. No Brooklyn, depois fui para Recife, no Alto José do Pinho, fui em Dona Marivalda com Mestre Salustiano, fui na casa da Rabeca, passei em Campina Grande e no Brooklyn eu cheguei, tava no Brooklyn, depois fui para Recife, no Alto José do Pinho, fui em Dona Marivalda com Mestre Salustiano, fui na casa da Rabeca, passei em Campina Grande e no Brooklyn eu cheguei.
A vida tava tão boa, pra que mandou me chamar?
Sustento o trupé, menino, o galo já vai cantar.
ومرحبا من الدكتور جالس سكران في Music for Human.
Good evening.
Today we have I am Dr. Jalas Sakran, transdermal mediator from Al Hijaz. We have with me today Lester Woods.
Good evening, everyone.
Lester Woods is ordained light minister. And also Federico Mora, Peruvian herbologist. Federico, are you with us?
I think Federico's been taking a siesta, perhaps.
His siesta.
Hello, everybody.
And also, along with Federico, we have Sophia, ardent dog lover. Sophia, are you there?
Hi, everybody. My name is Maria, and I'm Federico's friend.
Maria?
Good to have you on the show, Maria.
Thank you very much for your invitation.
Well, it's really great that we can just connect the dots again tonight and complete the circle. And there's no such thing as a rough approximation.
No, indeed. But as always, the show is about the listener. And to that end, if you would like to call in and contribute, the number is 617-253-8810. And we have two operators standing by.
Everyone is fully connected. One thing I was thinking of, it's really an important consideration for us to discuss tonight, I feel, is the real fluid movement of dance in our everyday life. And it's not often that we get a chance to just really stand up and, you know, release those energies, stretch those legs. We can use this as a real fitness relaxation method.
Dance. Indeed, I've seen people in the streets and they move so rigidly. So, you know, clearly disjointed in their movement. And I always think that these people, they need a little dance. Little bit of mojo in their movement. But, you know, like, there are some things that are considered dance that in the Hijaz we would sort of laugh at, like, I've seen these atavistic tap dancers in their twisted rituals. Federico, as a Peruvian, I know that you have a great culture of dance.
Yeah, we like to dance.
And
cumbia and chicha. We have so many dances in Peru when I was there visiting.
And, I mean, how do people in Peru regard the tap dancing?
And perhaps tap is not really the movement we're talking about here, but rather more of an intellectual connection with our own bodies. Yeah, I don't know if this is something that we founded first in Buenos Aires or where it was that this started, but I know it's really an heterogeneous movement of individual souls.
Thank you. I remember times when I went to the Schwarzwald and saw people dancing there naked, you know, in the mosses, dancing around trees and sort of wiggling their bottoms and throwing leaves and just celebrating their lives in the Schwarzwald. Have any of you also visited the Schwarzwald? Lester?
No, I think that would have to be a negative.
Negative on the Schwarzwald.
Right, I've been to the Christmas markets, but that's about as close as I've gotten.
Hmm. Yeah, and the Black Forests in southern Germany.
I have seen people dancing in the English Garden in the south of Germany, in Munich, dancing tango during the summer.
Dancing tango in English gardens?
English Garden is the name of a very big park in Munich.
Hmm.
And like during the summer, people, there are groups of people who dance tango there. It's very nice.
But like, you know, I've seen like natives of various regions dancing around fires or in the deserts. I remember that I saw a lot of dancing in the seasons, and also throwing sand or dust into the fire. Perhaps around the denuded carcass of a goat. And animal dancing is also something that I've been very interested in. Maria, are you familiar with animal dancing, like dancing with an animal or to an animal, towards an animal?
Yeah, like in some shows you can see people dancing with dogs, for example, like poodles are very good at that. They will stand up in two legs and they will like make tours and like jump. So there are also, I have seen also competitions like here in America and in England where border collies, especially border collies and Aussies, dance with their owners.
They dance with the owner?
Yeah, that's the competition about. So they have to coordinate movements, yeah, like backwards, forward, and like make some tours and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like very interesting.
But do you feel any sort of...
Hey, this is Chuck from VR.
Do you feel any sort of spiritual energy in the dance?
Well, you're talking like specifically about dancing with like dogs, or are you talking like in general?
Well, specifically with dogs for now. You know, like I've always noticed the, you know, the elderly women dancing with a dog, or like leading a dog on a leash, jumping over the dog, having the dog jump over her, or run quickly between her legs, and you know, walking around in circles. And it all seemed somewhat catatonic, like somewhat artificial and denuded of spiritual energy. Whereas, you know, you see a man with a hatchet dancing around a big fire taller than him, and running into it and maybe catching fire a little bit, and there's a lot of energy there, a lot of spiritual, you know, oomph, you know, a lot of energy there. And you really feel that he's connecting with something beyond himself.
Oh, that's really, really impressive.
Or small children rolling down hills into thorn bushes, or dancing with flowers and just celebrating their short lives. I mean short as in height, not as in the duration of their lives.
Yeah, you know, when I went to visit Federico in Peru, I saw something very interesting. Like there is, like, they have this kind of horses that can dance, and they dance with their owner on top. So it's like very, very interesting. And they dance like that some kind of music from the north coast of Peru.
Mm-hmm. And what sort of movement does the horse have when it's dancing? Like, I could imagine a sort of trotting or jumping, but is there also, like, partner horse dancing so that two horses could dance together, like a horse waltz or, you know, equine tango?
Well, in Peru, they don't dance tango or waltz. Usually the horses dance marinera dances.
Marinera?
Which is very spiritual. Sophia saw it when she visited, like, the circus. I took her to the circus in Peru and to an experience, a spiritual animal and human connection.
Mm-hmm. And that's...
Yeah, so, like, you could see, like, two or three horses dancing together. So I think marinera... It's like from the coast, and the name comes from people who were coming from boats, it's like sailors. Yeah. So, as far as I know, like the owner has like to dance like all their life. They have to train the horse all their life with this kind of music. And these horses, they will never walk or run the same way like a normal regular horse does. So they have very, like, small steps, and they lift their legs a lot. So it's very different.
So they really raise their knees as they are dancing.
Yeah, they really not only raise their knees, but also, like, their feet. You know, they have, like an articulation between, like, the feet and the knee. Yeah, so they also like can move that like very nice.
And so, like, how are they trained to do this? Like, is a special shoe used, or is it a you know, like a rubber band that is tied around? Well, so, you know, when I was, the reason I ask is, in the Hijaz, we have dancing camels, but the camels are trained to dance by having, you know, noodles and little bits of food thrown towards their feet. And camels are very polite, so they will never step on food. They will always back up and try to eat it. So you throw the food at their feet and they will hop back and hop forward and, you know, always be trying to avoid landing on a bit of mashed potato or whatever happens to be.
Oh, wow.
There. And so then, like, after a while, the little area is all covered in food except in a few spots. And so the camel learns to really leap. But it takes years.
Yeah, I'm not sure if many of you are aware of this, but I was born in Saigon, and really this brings back a lot of memories from when I was 14. You know, I auditioned for a high school dance team, and really they wanted us to be more like the equestrians, really. going back to our mammalian roots, and whether it's ballroom dancing or maybe, oh, I don't know, the extraordinary tango. I think that they all really had a lot of intersecting lines that we tried to stem out from, either tangentially or, you know, maybe some sort of approximation.
Yeah, like, it's unusual too, because, like, well, I think you are aware that I submitted a paper over the summer on our origins as, you know, in the sea.
Oh, that's interesting. We've actually got a caller. Let's have our operators tie that person in. Hello, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well tonight. How are you?
Good. Well, this is an interesting conversation, but I can't help but feel that there's an elephant in the room that hasn't been mentioned. Before you guys went on the last show, they said this is your last show. Is that true?
Well, so almost certainly not. So I think that our colleagues with the previous show were mistaken.
Oh, okay. Scared me for a second. I thought my life was over. I really thought it was coming to an end, man.
Well, that's really kind of you to say. We do appreciate all of your support. And really, I feel like this is a community forum where we can be supporting each other here.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm driving right now. I was about to swerve into the other lane and just...
You know, in China, they have a phrase. It's Antoine, D-E. That means safety first.
Safety first. It's really a good lesson. And the reason is that whatever benefit you think you may get from not being safe is outweighed by all the things that you can learn by staying safe now and continuing to exist.
That's right.
Well, I want to continue to exist. As long as this show exists, I will continue to exist.
It's really beautiful for us to hear it.
And it couldn't be the same show without you, especially now.
And caller, so you've now told us, of course, that you are a driver. And have you ever, you know, in the ancient days, now we've been talking about dancing with animals. These animals were, you know, they were used as means of transportation. So I wondered if, as a driver, you ever considered, you know, dancing in the car or, like, with the car.
I do actually dance with the car. Some people think that's maybe dangerous, but yeah, you find an icy parking lot in the middle of winter and you just speed up and pull your e-brake and cut your wheel to the left, and you just spin around in a circle until you happen to hit something or just come to a stop. And I think that's like dance, definitely.
It sounds beautiful. Like, I really feel that in that sort of movement, you know, especially with a car where you can really go quickly, you know, and test the limits of your tolerance, that really there is a lot to be gained in a spiritual sense from that.
I don't know if I agree. I think that, I don't know, it's scary what you can do in a car. And if you think about it, like, you could run somebody over and kill them.
Yeah,
very easily.
That's really true. You know, the one thing we can say about safety in the car is that there really is a whole lot of impedance. You know, you've got the rubber between you and the road. Unless you're driving a Jeep, you're not likely to roll. There's really a great sense of security, I think, we have in this country with driving our cars.
Today I saw a funeral procession, and I think it's so funny how this is our Western American funeral. It's just a line of cars going down the road to mourn those who have died, and comparing it to other cultures, just it's almost absurd.
Yeah, that's really a difficult thing to compare for good or bad or lesser or more, you know, when do these lines blur? It's, I don't know, Sabrina, maybe you can help, you know, decipher this.
Sorry, my name is Maria.
Oh, Maria, I'm sorry.
I was going to mention that as well.
Oh, God, I really apologize.
Yeah, so I really don't have much experience with funerals, but...
It's okay, it is inevitable. I mean, we are all going to die, unfortunately, but that's okay.
Yeah, but I have been very lucky.
Right.
So, I'm going to live now. I'm all right.
So, but I have seen, like, some cultures in South America, when, like, somebody dies, they will cook guinea pigs. Yeah, like grill guinea pigs.
Really?
Yeah, and they will dance, and they will hire, like, a band. So it's, like, very, very, very interesting. And people will, like, drink a lot of beer, and everybody will be very happy.
Wow. What kind of beer do they like to drink down there?
Like blonde beer.
Oh, okay. So just not the regular, usual kind of thing, but, really, really something that sets the mood and sets the tone for the evening, I guess you'd say.
Oh, yeah, and they also, like, hire some people to tell jokes.
That's a happy
thing. Good idea.
And Sabrina, so you mentioned guinea pig?
Yeah, I saw they eat guinea pig.
So it's really interesting because, you know, the guinea pig symbolizes eternal life in ancient Peruvian culture, as I'm sure Federico Mora could attest.
Yeah, I attest your statement. I remember, Dr. Jealous, that you had once a rooster also.
That's true, and it's funny you mention also the rooster, because I used to dance with the rooster.
That's why I recall.
Dancing with the cock?
Yeah, dancing with roosters, and the rooster is a dangerous dance partner.
Turn on the radio.
It's not a safe partner to dance with.
They peck at you.
They do, yeah. Really.
But they're very spiritual. Every time they drink, they have to, like, look up to the sky and then thank God before, like, swallowing the water.
Have
you noticed this?
I did, like, but also when we had our chickens in the old days, the roosters would drown if you did not bring them in outside of the rain, which is interesting now because it's raining. So anybody out there who has chickens, bring your chickens inside because they will look up and they will die. They will just stare in the sky until their mouths fill with water, and that's the end of them.
I noticed you were talking about drivers, and I think now, like, we were using animals as a mean of transportation, but now when I drive with my car in the highway, I see a lot of semi-trailers with people driving animals. I thought, like, we change the roles, we drive them around instead of them driving us around.
What sort of ironic that, like, we've changed so much from being...
Actually, that's true, because, like, I have a kid brother, and he has a pony. And he will transport his pony almost everywhere he goes. So he has a party, and he goes with his pony. So, you know, it's not interesting, like, now...
That he would take his pony wherever he goes?
Well, besides that, like, many people, they take their pets wherever they go. Yeah, but the pony is supposed to transport you. Yeah, not you transport the pony.
Yeah, right. You know, this is interesting. It really reminds me of the late Robert Ghostwolf. I don't know if many of you are familiar with him, but one of his really important seminal works was The Story of the Ghost Dance. This was where Chief Bigfoot had incorporated some 350 people, and they're really looking at the history that leaves us with, I don't know, how do we say this? Maybe it's a little bit like the freezing Dakota snows, but yet there's this fire with inside. It's like the Cheyenne against the buffalo. they lived in harmony, and you know, whether it was a spiritual or more metaphysical dance, it really coexisted nicely.
And yet, I have this imagining, this vision of... I recently had a dream that I was gelling my hair, and I looked out the window, and there was a man stepping outside of a semi-tractor trailer, a very, very large car, for those of you who are unfamiliar. And he took the trailer up in his arms and began a belly dance, which is it's an unusual choice for a partner dance. But I think that symbolized this sort of changing time, this new age, this new time changing in our lives.
Ritual machines, you mean?
Yeah, sort of like the vision of something that is mechanical acting in a very organic way, in a very, you know, having a real true existence within the culture like that, which I thought was somewhat strange.
Now, Maria, I haven't known you for very long, but I do get this feeling that there's really a deep sense of personal ownership in otherness within you. I'm not sure if I'm reading you correctly, but I just had this feeling. I could be way off my mark here, and I sometimes do that, going out on a limb.
What do you mean by otherness?
Well, that you're really interested in others, you know, reaching out, making these connections, and building a strong social web.
I think that otherness is just being other than yourself, taking on qualities that are other than yourself, not knowing about others. I don't know.
Taking on qualities other than yourself. That's interesting. Almost like a metamorphosis. The chameleon, huh?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
I've known Maria for a long time. I don't think she's a chameleon. She's very spiritual, and she likes ponies, but chameleon is too far.
But I like colors.
What was your latest spiritual experience, Maria?
Oh, that was like something very, very interesting. Because like, I was in Colombia, and I heard my brother was going to like a Buddhist Lama seminar or something like that in Machu Picchu, which is in Peru.
Ah. No?
So when he came back, I asked him like, oh, so where is this Lama from? Because like we don't have like, you don't see Lamas in South America, yeah?
Yeah.
Around. Like it's very weird. So he told me, oh, this guy is from New York. So I said, oh, so why don't you give me his email or something so maybe I can contact him when I'm back in Boston or go to New York, like, learn more about his culture, everything, yeah, about his, like, religion.
Yeah, so that's interesting. New York, of all places.
So my brother told me that, okay, I cannot give you the email because this kind of things has to happen in your life.
Yeah, you
so
have
it's
to watch
kind of
out.
Energies and blah blah blah, and if really God wants you to meet this kind of nice energy, like this energy will find you. You don't have to find it.
You know, that's interesting. Talking about energy finding us, the operator just said that there's another phone call. Let's tune that person in and have that person join our discussion. So just one moment, Maria, please.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Hello, caller. Caller number two.
Namaste.
Oh,
marhaba.
Good evening. How are you?
Great. Am I on the air?
Yeah, yes, you're on the air. We're here tonight with Maria and Sebastian and...
Wow. Sounded like a didgeridoo. Or was that just feedback?
A didgeridoo. You know, we haven't had one of those on the air for quite some time now, but... Yes.
Wow. That sort of thing. That's what I thought I heard, but it might have just been feedback from my telephone.
You know, very, very often the feedback does happen when we're really getting into the show and maybe we're just putting our microphone or our phones or cell phone just too close to the speaker.
Well, yes, and that what that brought up for me was when I'm dancing, a lot of times I'm trying to move into a space that I'm not already in, a space that's other than me. When you were talking to this young woman about her otherness and interest in others, when I move out of my space into another space, and then another space, and then another space, and then another space, and then another space.
Right.
And
a lot of spaces.
A lot of different spaces. And I'm dancing. You know, I'm moving from that space to that space to that space.
Yeah, you know, we really got to find out. What did you start the day off with? Was it an exercise? Or were you, I don't know, maybe into oatmeal with raisins? What was it?
Well, I always try to get as much roughage as I can.
Oh, that's great.
To keep things, you know, it's all about movement.
Right, that's right.
And that's restoring your natural state of emptiness.
Yes, yes.
That, along with drinking water after a long nights of rest, these are two important ingredients that we all must consider.
Stretching.
Yes.
Stretching after exercise.
Stretching.
And before exercise.
Chanting. And just blowing the whole day before out. You know, just letting it go.
Yeah, that's right. That's interesting. You know, fortunately, we've got Maria with here tonight, and she's really good at focusing energy.
Oh, good, good. Because I actually didn't blow the whole day out from yesterday or the day before, so I've kind of got like 3 days that I'm still connected to.
That's right. We're all trying to process these, you know, past experiences, and oftentimes it's our subconscious that takes care of it without us even noticing.
That's right. That's right. I'm not really here and now. I'm sort of then and there with a little bit of here and now. But I'm really, you know, I'm really, the show is helping me to move from one space to another, and dancing. And I think of all the animals. Sometimes I wonder if animals aren't more in tune with their dancing when they're not observed. Kind of like a Heisenberg kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if Maria has some kind of comment about that, but I really feel like this, you know, this is an important question for us to be considering for how should we be interacting with our own natural environment? Does it matter if people are looking? You know, are we just supposed to be ourselves?
Yeah, in the case of some animals, you can see birds that they dance in order to mate.
That's
so,
right.
So it's like very, like, in coordination with nature, yeah. It's like the right time, the right season, like the right place.
Yeah. The temperature's got to be right.
Yeah, not only the temperature, but like
everything
around. Like,
It's really a process of natural selection, you might say. If the conditions aren't right, you know, it's like trying to strike a match. If it's wet outside and you know you don't have any rocks around, you're really in a hole. Please.
It's about the energies.
It really is about energy.
Yeah, good energies. Not only temperature. The main thing is energies. You have to feel it.
Right. You have to make sure you grab that power bar or whatever it is that really picks you up in the middle of the day when you're about to take a siesta. I don't know what it is.
A positive thought.
Yeah, or a particularly intense power stone, or you know, a sharp candle.
You know, that reminds me. It's been about 2 months now since I've had my amethyst with me, and I don't know. I just haven't really felt whole. Maybe it's been that lack of energy. Perhaps that's what I can really trace this back to.
So, like, what happened exactly to the amethyst?
You know, I don't even... Actually, now that you mention it, I'm not even sure when or if I did last have it. It just felt like it was always there, and... I started, maybe I had talked about it on the show maybe 3 years ago when I was discussing some of the home remedies that one could make from, you know, common household items, whether it's, you know, warts or whatever kind of ailment we had. And at that time, I know that amethyst was really an important ingredient in these kinds of recipes. But, you know, I'm not even sure where it went.
So,
for tranquility.
So
you can ground yourself. If you lose your crystal, you can ground yourself by putting salt in between your toes and taking long, deep breaths.
Yeah, but it has to be like sea salt.
You know, that's right. That ionized salt just, it really isn't what it's made out to be.
Salt has a charge too.
Yeah, and it's amazing that something like 60% of our own body is ionized dechlorinated salt. And that's a really scary number if you think about it, but I think it just goes back to our discussion earlier about balance. I know, Maria, you were talking about, you know, whether it's watching, observing nature and feeling as though you're free, and Sebastian, I know you're really a strong proponent of the same.
Yeah, I agree to relax. In some Asian cultures, they connect with their soul animal. So they do the animal dance to relax, and so they will get out all the bad energies and retrieve to their body the good energies. Like they dance the flamenco dance. It's part also of, I think, martial art applied it. So, Dr. Jalis, I was wondering what's your animal soulmate is?
Well, I had a particularly strong interaction with an otter.
Oh, really?
An otter, yeah. The otter was unusually, you know, it was in a meadow and it had a canvas. Well, you know, this is a vision. This is not like an actual experience, but...
In which space?
In the, well, it's some higher plane of understanding. I met this otter and it was doing a painting of a Mobius band. There was the Aurora Borealis, and there were large chunks of granite in the ground, and we walked along the seven planes into space and beyond, and we became best friends, and then for a moment it seemed that we had merged into a single body in some sort of otter man. And
wow.
And it was very painful to detach myself from this otter man. And you know, in times of extremely potent...
Did you have any spiritual connection?
Yeah, like when I achieve very deep and powerful meditative experiences, I feel that I'm rejoining my otter man.
And do you often dream with the otter man?
It's very rare that I achieve this state without, you know, actually meditating consciously.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I don't know, but I wonder if this could also either have been caused by or be symptomatic of a blood sugar imbalance. You know, I'm not sure how much natural sugar the otters are able to get from their daily diet, but this is at least something that I've read up a lot in the literature, and I just wonder if in practice it actually is true to the word.
That like an otter is sugar imbalanced.
Right, right.
So my memory of the otter, you know, it's been, well, 40 or 50 years since I took zoology, but I remember that otters store sugar in their tails and claws, very similar to how the camel stores fat, liquids, and sugars and protein in its hump.
Huh.
And so maybe there is some connection there. I never thought of it in terms of a blood chemical imbalance creating a vision. I'm not sure that's possible.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
I think it's like more possible that the sugar was low.
You know, we've got a caller, the operator just told me, and maybe this happens to be an otter expert. Let's find out. Hello, caller.
I'm going to speak to Amy Patissiashe.
You're on the air, and I'm not so sure if Amy Patissiashe is there right now.
But she may be listening.
Okay, thanks.
I can send her waves.
We can all focus our
smoke
energies. A smoke signal? Side,
yeah.
From the class we took together in Peru, Dr. Jerez.
In our smoke signal class?
Yeah, smoke communication.
We spoke about this, 2 weeks ago on the air?
Actually, I heard it's like more reliable than internet now in Peru because yesterday they didn't have internet connection.
But they still had smoke, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they never run out of smoke in Peru. I mean, when I was in Peru, there were little boys, little like 5-year-old boys, chain-smoking cigars.
You know, I understand that happens a lot in the North End, too.
It's not cigars, it's sage.
Oh, sage. I was very... I thought they were smoking cigars.
No, because it's like a holy plant, their sage.
Mm. Yeah, that's an easy mistake. Just a moment. Let's patch another caller in here now. Hello, caller.
Well, hello. I was just going to, I think you were saying something earlier about Robert Ghostwolf. Was I right about that?
I believe that we had mentioned Robert Ghostwolf. Yes, yes.
Did you know that he was struck by lightning twice before he died?
You know,
It actually killed him.
I can't believe that.
No, really, it did. It happened like 2 years ago. First, he was in his home in Tucson or New Mexico, something like that. And then he got struck by lightning, and he survived that. And a bunch of elders came and took care of him. And then he went to visit his daughter out in California, and he's sitting in bed and gets struck by lightning in the house.
God, you know, they often say that it doesn't have to happen twice, but...
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's not a sign that God was ready for him, I don't know what was.
Yeah, you know...
Maybe it was a sugar imbalance.
Oh, you know, I didn't think about that.
You know, that's a really important question to ask, especially when we're looking at these different electric potentials. You know, who knows what could have been in balance for him that day.
Iron, maybe. Iron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd let you know that was, that's how he died. I was reading up on him recently, and that's how he died.
Wow.
And thank you for...
Take care.
That's unfortunate. You know, I didn't even know the guy myself, actually, but I'd heard a lot about him, and, well, hopefully he'll rest in peace, the late Robert Ghostwolf. Yes, caller number one.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Marhaban.
كل تمام.
You speak Arabic?
I speak a very little bit of Arabic.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yes. I was just calling, for a couple reasons. First of all, because I think that, you know, if you're going to get hit twice by lightning, then somebody's got it in for you. If it's not God, then... You know, maybe like the electric company thinks you haven't been paying your bills and they're trying to get back at you or something, but twice as... That's pretty rough.
In which dimension?
Yeah. And also, I wondered if anybody left any messages for me.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Because I understand that people are so in tuned with my aura at the music that they will actually call and they will say, you know, is Amy there? And even if I haven't even been anywhere near the beautiful circle, they somehow manage to leave messages.
You know, I think we did get a message tonight, but... the transmission was corrupted and so it didn't come through clearly. I don't know if that's a message in itself or what that means, but...
That's pretty message laden right there.
Yeah.
That must mean that there was something in there that I was not supposed to hear.
That's right. It was pre-censored for you, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. It also could be that, you know, some of the people who try to get messages through to me using the circle system, they're not necessarily true believers in the power of energy.
You know, that's really interesting that you bring that up, but today and tonight we've got two energy experts here with us as our guests.
That's so great.
And it's really a coincidence that you call in looking for your message and we have two energy experts that really, I think that they understand the properties of what we're talking about here.
We concentrated to not let the bad energies broadcast through the show. So your message was censored with our concentration.
That is so beautiful. Too bad there's lightning out tonight.
It's just on. That's
you know,
fine.
That's just another way of representing energy. Wow, it seems like there's some sort of disturbance. Well, that sounds like the click.
Maria, I think you're concentrating too much on blocking the bad energies for our show.
It's like we have this, I can feel it, we've got this really great magnetic EMF going around the entire studio tonight.
Totally.
Yeah, I think I received that gift for my grand aunt, who was a witch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great, if you've got something to share with us tonight, that's wonderful.
I never met her, so I don't know much about her. But she's kind of famous in the coast of Colombia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because she used to cure people when we didn't have doctors.
Oh, she's the famous Maria?
Yeah.
Well, that's why you were named after
Tia
her.
Maria, yeah. She's well known as like the Tia Maria.
Oh.
Yeah, when I was visiting Colombia in the 60s, everybody was so hype about Mama Maria. That's how they called her.
Yeah, because you remember, like, there was a time when we have, like, a lot of, like, stomach illnesses, infections, like typhus, and it was killing, like, it killed, like, a lot of people.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So she cured many of the people who survived.
Well, unfortunately, we are reaching the end of the show again. But we would like to thank all of our callers today and also thank you to our guest hosts, Federico and Maria.
Thank you for having us, Dr. Jealous. It was a pleasure being on your show again.
Well, I hope you will join us again in future shows and also thanks to our ordained light minister, Lester Woods.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Jealous. I really appreciate that you've kept the wheels turning.
Well, thank you for turning them with me. And from Dr. Jealous Sakran, Ma'a Salama here, 88.1 FM in Cambridge, WMBR. So we will be on next week. Ma'a Salama.
Thank you. Bye.
It's now 2 minutes of 8 p.m. in WMBR Cambridge, 88.1 FM.
Weird, I think so. But I spoke.
Points for safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three,
cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four,
cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
You're listening to 88.1 FM Cambridge, WMBR, MIT's public radio station. And this is Hidden Gems in Plain Sight, and I'm Josh, proving to you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look, and I'm trying to show you where to look. This is the, going to be the last show of this, summer season here at WMBR, and I will be back with, Hidden Gems in Plain Sight next season, starting